Dealey Plaza, downtown Dallas, where 17 years later, people still come to see for themselves the grassy knoll and Oswald's perch on the top floor of the Texas School Book Depository. They come to relive November 22nd, 1963. But it's here, downtown Midlothian, Texas, some 30 miles away from the assassination site. This is where the question, who shot President Kennedy, has obsessed one man for the last 17 years. 66-year-old Penn Jones is one of the leading Kennedy assassination buffs in America. There are four books in his name and a monthly newsletter he started in 1975. It has an international circulation and 250 subscribers. He even has his own copy of the famous Zapruder film, a key aid in his theories. Jones says Oswald wasn't alone and believes there were 9 gunmen and that Lyndon Johnson was involved. He's convinced the Warren Commission lied, and he's determined to prove it. Jones says he knows it's a lost cause, but he insists the assassination is an unsolved crime. His work eases his conscience.
It lets me sleep a little better at night. And I don't give a damn what they call me, Monday morning or Tuesday morning. I think this is important for the democracy, and I don't give a damn how much fun that makes them. I'm going to continue this work as long as I live.
Welcome to The End of Innocence. I'm your host, John Young. As we've been covering heroes of the JFK assassination research community, today I want to share with you a story of my personal hero in the research community, and one of the main reasons I wrote my recent book, The End of Innocence. Today I want to talk to you about Penn Jones Jr. I'd met Penn back in 1989 when I looked him up in Waxahachie, Texas, and paid him a visit. That day with him and time spent with him many days after changed my life. Penn took me in like a grandfather does a grandson, and helped me get my research into the Kennedy assassination kickstarted. He helped open doors for me that I would not have been able to open myself. He set me out on what one may call a roadmap in my research of this awful crime. So who was the real Penn Jones Jr.?
Something has happened in the motorcade route. Something, I repeat, has happened in the motorcade route. There's numerous people running up the hill alongside Elm Street, there by the Simmons Freeway. Several police officers are rushing up the hill at this time. Stand by.
From Dallas, Texas, the flash, apparently official, President Kennedy died at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, some 38 minutes ago.
This is just in from Dallas. Homicide Chief Captain Will Fritz said today the assassination case against Lee Harvey Oswald is cinched. He said flatly, "This is the man that killed President Kennedy, 24-year-old Lee Harvey Oswald."
The man has been shot.
It's November 22nd, 1992, and Penn Jones and I are in the plaza together for yet another time, but this time it's different. It's the 29th anniversary of President Kennedy's assassination. Dealey Plaza looks like a sideshow. Hundreds of people have flocked to the site of President Kennedy's assassination. Street vendors selling hot dogs, soft drinks, and JFK memorabilia. Assassination buffs argue about what really happened here. Tourists pose for pictures on the grassy knoll, where director Oliver Stone recently filmed part of his controversial movie JFK. At 12:30 p.m., a hush falls over the crowd. A short, wiry man in an old railroad cap and glasses calls for a moment of silence. That man is Penn Jones Jr. People bow their heads. Some pray, others weep. Penn Jones Jr. looks solemnly down Elm Street through sad, hollow eyes. Penn Jones has carried out this annual rite of remembrance for almost three decades. The 78-year-old grandfather of assassination researchers, he's a hero to the large group of disbelievers that still doesn't accept the Warren Commission's official version of JFK's murder. Mr. Jones is a legend, not only for what he has found, but also for what he has lost. His obsessive crusade routed his life. It alienated him from his family and his community. His former job as the editor of the Mithilonian Mirror, his personal life, his income, everything changed after the assassination for Penn Jones Jr. What you have to understand is after the Warren Commission came out with its report, it was not popular to disagree with their findings. You would be alienated for it, and Penn Jones Jr. was. But on this day in the plaza, people joined the throng following Penn, asking for his autograph, taking his picture, pressing him for answers. "Hey, Penn, have you told everybody what you think happened down here?" one man asked him. Penn says, "It was a complete coup d'etat, an assassination made to order." "Did Oswald fire a shot that day?" another man asked. I'll never forget Penn turning to the man and saying, "Hell no, he didn't." He would spend hours in the plaza that day while I was taking it all in and mesmerized how he handled all the attention. A few hours later, Penn and I make our way back to his farmhouse in Wachahatchee. He is exhausted but still has the energy to share with me some notes he took while interviewing one of Jack Ruby's ex-strippers. His house is a shrine to the late president. Pictures of JFK hang on the walls. He has floor-to-ceiling books and videotapes covering the assassination, hundreds of them. A few of those he once gave me and now I have in my collection. Penn even has a replica of President Kennedy's favorite rocking chair. Another room in his house is full of file folders, yellow newspapers, and black and white photographs. Some of those items he gave me one day, and they remain some of my most cherished assassination-related items. Penn's voice still reeks of anger and grief when he talks about what happened to John Kennedy. Penn told me one time, "My life was never the same after that day, and our country was never the same. Democracy died that day in Dealey Plaza." You see, Penn revered President Kennedy as a leader who shared his liberal ideals and loved him like a brother. While part of Penn also died that day in Dallas, another part of him came to life. The determination to find out what happened that day in Dealey Plaza and why. Penn once told me that he would work on investigating the assassination for the rest of his life, and that he did before passing the torch to younger researchers like myself and others. Some of the early researchers, like Penn Jones Jr., went on to write best-selling books, but Penn was not one of them. He did not even get paid much money for being a consultant in Oliver Stone's movie JFK, but Penn's work on the assassination has become more admired and appreciated as time passes. You see, most prophets are not recognized in their day.
I would love to see a computer faced with the problem of coming up with the probabilities of the assassination taking place the way it did, with all of these strange incidents that took place before and are continuing to take place after the assassination. I think all of us who love this country should be alerted that something is wrong in the land.
On the day President Kennedy was assassinated, Penn Jones Jr. was among hundreds of business people waiting for the president to arrive at the Dallas Trade Mart for a lunch address. Penn said that when he heard the news that the president had been shot, he left immediately and went to Dealey Plaza. Then he went to Parkland Hospital. As President Kennedy was being pronounced dead at Parkland Hospital, mourners had gathered, and Penn took some photographs of the presidential limousine and the crowd scene. In one of his photos, a dumpy man with a baggy suit and a Dick Tracy hat is striding away from the camera. Penn has always said that man is Jack Ruby, and that was based on positive identification by Ruby's sister. That photo Penn took that day became quite controversial. Penn wrote in a 1966 editorial that Mr. Ruby's presence at Parkland could have dark connotations, but the Warren Commission concluded that Ruby was not at Parkland. The Monday after the assassination, and after Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald, Penn Jones shook up the Mithilonian with a special edition of the Mirror. "The Disgrace of Dallas," the front page headline read. In the story, Penn blasted Dallas for creating a hate campaign against President Kennedy that he felt contributed to the violence. One of Penn's sons, Michael, once told me that the events of that day visibly changed his father's direction. Michael said his dad began to devote most of his time to the assassination and what he believed was a concerted effort to purge the country of liberal leaders by whatever means necessary. His work was a total giving of himself, Michael told me. Penn devoted so much time to the assassination that his relationship with his son suffered. Michael said it was difficult on the family. Penn Jones Jr. wrote a series of editorials that became a kind of Bible for other assassination researchers. Later, using the newspaper's presses and financial backing from friends and family, he published them as a small paperback book entitled Forgive My Grief. The title is from a poem by Alfred Lord Tennyson. The poem reads, Forgive my grief for one removed, thy creature whom I found so fair. I trust he lives in thee, and there I find him worthier to be loved. Penn eventually published 4 volumes of Kennedy material in a newsletter, The Continuing Inquiry, that ran for 12 years. It constantly lost money, but he kept it going. In the books and newsletters, Penn played the bulldog detective. He interviewed witnesses, badgered reluctant officials for information, and followed trails that sometimes led to dead ends. He was the first to chronicle the deaths, sometimes under strange circumstances, of people connected with the assassination. He began numbering them. By 1969, he was up to 68 people that had died that had connections to the assassination. Penn wrote numerous articles supporting the late Jim Garrison, the New Orleans district attorney who was condemned for prosecuting businessman Clay Shaw for Kennedy's murder, the only person ever prosecuted and acquitted in the assassination. Penn would publish photographs the other newspapers wouldn't. Later, after the Warren Commission released its report on the assassination, Penn Jones read all 15,000 pages and wrote highly critical editorials pointing out inaccuracies, allegedly altered testimony, and witnesses that the commission didn't interview. The newspaper would cost Penn about $350 a month that came out of his own pocket. He was also getting threatening phone calls that frightened his family. Penn once told me, hell, they tried to scare me with phone threats. They tried to run me off the road. I made a lot of enemies. He would say it could be dangerous in those early days, but I did what I had to do. Penn once told me that the assassination was personal to him because of whom he felt was responsible, the government. He felt betrayed personally by the country and the ideals he had fought for. He never really got over it. Much like myself, Penn once estimated that he spent several thousand hours reading and knocking on doors, asking questions, attempting to connect the dots in the puzzle left by the Warren Commission. He once told me that the Warren Report was not worth the paper it was printed on. Here's how Wikipedia describes Penn Jones Jr.'s life. William Penn Jones Jr., October 14, 1914 to January 25, 1998. He was an American journalist, the editor of the Mithilonian Mirror, and author. Jones was one of the earliest John F. Kennedy assassination conspiracy theorists. Jones was born in Lane's Chapel, Texas. He was one of 8 children born to William Penn Jones and his wife Gussie Earlene Jones. After graduating from Clarksville High School in 1932, Jones attended Magnolia A&M Junior College for less than 2 years. In 1935, he transferred to the University of Texas at Austin. It was there that Jones met an economic professor who he later credited for influencing him to become a liberal. While at the University of Texas, Jones took classes with classmates Henry Wade, which was the district attorney of Dallas at the time of the assassination, and John Conley, who was governor of Texas at the time of the assassination. In 1940, Jones dropped out of college, later admitting that the coursework was too difficult. His military service included, in 1933, he joined the Texas National Guard. In October 1940, he was called to active duty to fight in World War II. He served in the 36th Infantry Division in the European Theater of World War II. In 1946, Jones purchased the Mithilonian Mirror for $4,000. He eventually sold the newspaper in 1974. In 1963, Penn Jones Jr. received the Elijah Parris Lovejoy Award for Courage in Journalism. Hugh Ainsworth was among those who were nominated for the award. Jones was known for being an early critic of the Warren Commission's report on the assassination of John F. Kennedy and for alleging that 150 people connected to the assassination may have died under mysterious circumstances. In 1967, he self-published Forgive My Grief, a 4-volume work on the assassination of President Kennedy. In the 1980s, Jones co-edited the Continuing Inquiry newsletter with Gary Mack of the Sixth Floor Museum at Dealey Plaza. As Mack would later recall, quote, Penn was one of the first generations of researchers who felt the government was behind the assassination, end quote. Jones was married twice and had 2 children. He married his first wife, Louise, in July 1941. They had 2 sons, Penn Jones III and Michael. They divorced in 1983. That same year, Jones married Elaine Cavanaugh. They remained married until Jones's death. On January 25, 1998, Penn Jones Jr. died of Alzheimer's disease in Alvarado, Texas, nursing home at the age of 83. At the time, he was survived by his wife and two sons, a brother, Douglas Jones, a sister, Ruby Nell Peake, and two grandchildren. May God rest his soul. If you like what you hear every week and want to learn more about the assassination, please pick up my book, The End of Innocence, The Assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's available right now on Amazon, and it's on sale. Or you can find it at www.endofinnocencejfk.com. And hey, send me your comments about the book or this podcast at endofinnocencejfk@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Jones was one of the earliest John F. Kennedy assassination conspiracy theorists.